Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. Lamentations 3:25. Hi, I'm Rob West. We all make plans, but life doesn't always go as expected. Missed expectations can be painful, especially when we've done everything right. But even in the waiting, God is still at work. Sharon Epps joins us today to share how we can wait with faith and walk forward with hope. Then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, it's always a pleasure to have Sharon Epps with us. She's president of Kingdom Advisors. And Sharon, great to see you.
And it's always the best part of my day.
Well, we love it too. I think we can all relate to the idea, Sharon, that reality doesn't always match our expectations. So let's start there. How would you counsel someone who's dealing with that situation right now?
Well, you know, we all experience some form of missed expectations from time to time. The market isn't performing the way we need to retire. Might be a current one.
That's right.
We nailed the interview but didn't get the job. The medical bill comes in 10 times higher than we expected. Or maybe it's conflict in the family and kids are fighting over the inheritance from your parents. Mm. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Probably the greatest missed expectation in human history was the cross. Mm. The Jews were looking for a conquering king, and Jesus' disciples hoped to have positions of authority in Christ's kingdom. But in a matter of days, the disciples went from praising God for all the miracles they had seen and celebrating his Jerusalem entrance by shouting Hosanna in Luke 19:37 to being scattered with no hope when Jesus was arrested and crucified.
Yeah.
And there are few places that are harder to live in than the gap between what we expect and what we actually get. The void that separates what we think we deserve and what our lives have actually delivered to us. We can barely tolerate being there and we'll do anything to find a way out. I know I do. But the cross shows us that we have always reasons to hope in the Lord.
Mm, that's powerful, and I'm sure really resonating with a lot of our listeners today. Sharon, I know you've counseled many people going through a situation like this. When people face unmet expectations, how do they usually respond, and what should we be careful to avoid?
Well, there's a few common reactions. First of all, I think sometimes we just adjust our expectations lower.
Yeah.
We just don't want to be disappointed again. And when we do that, oftentimes it diminishes our hope and it causes us to stop dreaming altogether. So that's not a good path.
Mm-hmm.
Other times, though, we go the opposite direction. We try to force things to take control or lash out or manipulate circumstances to make ourselves feel better.
Yeah.
And many of us will bounce back and forth between the two, either resignation or anger, passive acceptance or intense striving. But God's strategy is different, and He invites us to wait.
He sure does, but that can, of course, be one of the hardest things to do, especially waiting with hope. So how can you encourage us from Scripture during these seasons?
Well, Psalm 27:14 says simply, wait for the Lord. But here's something you have to understand about waiting. It might feel passive, but it's actually very active. One of my favorite pastors, Kevin Queen, once said, the work God wants to do in us while we wait is as important as what we are waiting for.
Wow, yeah.
And I've experienced that in seasons of my own life, waiting for restoration, whether it's financial, physical, or relationally. During one particularly hard season, a mentor gave me an assignment, and he said, watch for what God is doing in this season that He could do in no other way.
Mm.
So sometimes missed expectations reveal that my desires aren't aligned with God's, and I need to surrender. But other times, He has work to do in me or others, and waiting is the only path to see it unfold.
That's really encouraging. Sharon, for those who find themselves in a season of waiting, perhaps you could share a few practical steps they could take in this season.
Well, I'm taking these from the book of Habakkuk. It might not be quite as familiar, but one of the famous verses there is where the Lord says, I'm doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. Mm-hmm. And so that's the first thing. Acknowledge that God is at work even when you can't see it. The second thing is to change your perspective. Get in a place that you can see from God's point of view and ask Him to show you His hand at work. And finally, worship. Be sure and worship.
Oh, wow. That is so good. Well, Sharon, I know that there's a lot in our listening audience today who
are in that season of waiting or missed expectations, and this has been a huge encouragement for them. Thanks for sharing today.
Absolutely.
That's Sharon Epps. She's president here at Kingdom Advisors. She's a regular contributor, and we always love when she does. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Even in the best of courtrooms, sometimes justice falls short. Innocent people are convicted, or the guilty go free. But the courtroom of God is different. There's no such thing there as reasonable doubt, because what each person has done, even the motives of their hearts, are fully disclosed, indisputable fact. Romans 2:6 says, God will repay each person according to what they have done. And that's a sobering thought when you consider that no moment of your life can be hidden. There's no possibility of a cover-up unless it's the covering Jesus gives to those who trust in his death and resurrection in their place. In God's courtroom, that's the only admissible evidence that helps the guilty. Try out Anchor Devotional today, in print, monthly. Visit getanchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
We don't have to be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are giants. This is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We're going to go right back to the phone. Chicago is where we're headed. Lee, thanks for calling. How can I help you?
Hi, Rob. I'm sorry. I had a couple questions as it regards to a Roth conversion. I'm 57 years old. I'm not sure if I'm permanently or temporary retired early. I left the corporate workforce in 2021. I've got two traditional 401ks. One has about $785,000. Another has $70,000 approximately. I've got a home that's worth about $800,000, which I owe about $343,000 on. My taxes are about $11,000 a year. If I take Social Security at age 62, I would be taking about $2,300. If I take it at 67, I'd be taking about $3,200. If I wait till 70, it would be about $3,900. I've been living off my savings, and because I have no income right now, I understand it would be a good idea to opening a Roth conversion. I think I should have been doing it when I stopped I didn't know what a Roth IRA conversion was until recently, kind of embarrassed to say, but I could have opened one 4 years ago, and I should be doing that at the low or no income rate per my understanding at the income bracket that I'm at $11,600. I consulted with both my IRAs, current IRAs are very large companies, well-known companies. My advisor, I think he's good, but he's kind of condescending, and he's pushing me to two different funds. One is the American Mutual Fund. Another is the Growth Funds of America. And he's pushing me to do an A share fund versus a C share fund. And I'm not sure of the difference between the two of them. So I was wondering if you had any advice over which would be best for me in that situation.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's a lot there, but that was a great explanation, Lee, of where you find yourself. And I agree. I mean, a Roth IRA for perhaps a portion, maybe all of this could be an option. It'd be a pretty steep tax bill, so you'd want to spread it out over time. But I agree, you know, the time to do it is when you're in a low tax bracket, and because you have no income and you haven't started taking Social Security, clearly that is the case. If you think your taxes will be higher down the road, that's why you would want to do it. I mean, the real upside to the Roth conversion is once converted, then obviously the funds grow tax-free, the qualified withdrawals are tax-free on any growth or gains from that point forward. You avoid high taxes later. If we think taxes are going up, you don't have any required minimums. Your beneficiaries can inherit the account tax-free, which is particularly valuable for high-income heirs if you have any of those. So, you know, that can be good. I think the downside is that tax bill. Where would that cash come from in order to pay, you know, that that tax? Are you going to have to take that out as a distribution, or do you have the money to pay the tax over a number of years? Let's say we were to break this up over the next 3 years or something.
Well, wouldn't I only be taking, I mean, if I wouldn't the tax, wouldn't I be in a really low tax bracket? I mean, wouldn't it be like?
Well, you would be until you converted, because let's say you did the $785,000 over 3 years, you'd all of a sudden have $261,000 in income that you're going to have to pay tax on for the year of the conversion. And you've got to have the cash flow to pay that.
So my thought was to only convert $11,600 in a year, like just do baby amounts, just
keep
every year, 11,600, 11,600, like I should have started doing that when I retired in 2021, and keep on doing that. You know, if I decided to go back to work, maybe that'll change. But like the day I stopped working that year, I should have been doing that. I don't know why he didn't advise me to do that, but so then I'd
I see. So you're saying, yeah, I thought you were doing the whole thing. Yeah. So you're essentially saying if you convert up to the standard deduction, so which, you know, for 2024 was $13,850, it's a little higher this year, then you'd essentially eliminate the tax liability for that portion of the conversion.
Yeah. So just $11,600 each year. So the very minimum amount. I mean, yeah. So I'd only be paying, what, $1,660. I mean,
yeah,
a very small amount.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the standard deduction for this year has gone up. So what you're saying is you could do up to that standard deduction. Yeah, I mean, that's a very effective strategy, and I think that would be something worth looking into. I believe for this year, for a single filer, it's gone up to $15,000, so you certainly could do that. In terms of the A versus the C shares, so for the benefit of our listening audience, so there's different classes of mutual funds, and it has to do with how the expenses, the sales charges and the expenses taxes are paid on the sale of the mutual fund. And, you know, the A shares have a front-end load. And so that front-end load is the sales charge that, you know, right up front goes to the person that that you're buying it from. And that can be 3 to 5%. And so it's a pretty hefty charge. But then there's lower ongoing fees. Whereas the C shares, there's, you know, no front-end load. But, you know, there are expenses usually on the back end, a back end load when you sell it. So you just need to be aware of that. You know, I would probably look at, instead of either of those, moving to an advisor that, you know, would take over management of this. And they are going to probably buy for you the iShares, which would be, you know, have a higher minimum, but they're very low. There's no load at all and very low expenses. Or there's even a class of shares, you know, that is specifically for fee-based advisors. I think it's the F class. So rather than you just taking his advice and buying them yourself or buying them from him and paying all these sales charges, I'd probably look to get with an advisor who can just take over the management of this and somebody that you have a good rapport with and feel better about. But that's essentially how those different classes break down.
Yeah, that's where he got into the weeds with me. He was pushing the A-share funds with a 5.75% upfront.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Which was $700 when I'm putting in only $11,600 at a 10%, you know, even though the taxes are only $11,000, it's a, you know, I'm paying almost $700 up front and I'm paying $1,100 in taxes at 5.75%, you know, just to pay to get into the door. And then I'm telling him, like, I don't understand this. This is not in my wheelhouse. And he's like, listen, do you want the ticker number? He's, you know, he's just making me really uncomfortable. And that's not what I, it's a time.
No, that doesn't sound like, I mean, I hate to second guess him or his motivations, but that just, what you're describing doesn't sound like the kind of relationship I want for you with your advisor. Nothing that's condescending. You want somebody with the heart of a teacher that is there to get to know you and what you're trying to accomplish, to educate you and to guide you, and to do that really kind of through the lens of biblical wisdom, but also competent professional counsel. So if I were you, I'd probably look at making a change. I'd interview two or three certified Kingdom advisors there in Chicago, which you can find on our website at faithfi.com. Just click find a professional. Lee, I hope that helps. Really appreciate your call today. We'll be right back.
At Wesley Biblical Seminary, we believe God is raising up a movement across our nation and around the world who hold fast to the inerrancy of Scripture and the hope of holiness. We do this through bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees, certificate programs, and even training for lay people. So whatever your next step is in being equipped for ministry, we're here for you. And if you believe these are the kind of pastors we need leading churches in the future, we invite you to think about giving to Wesley Biblical Seminary. Learn more about us at wbs.edu.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often. Yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Our team is not here today, so let me just remind you not to call in, but I will also remind you that we have some great questions that we lined up in advance, so you're not going to want to miss today's broadcast. Let's go to Elk Grove, Illinois. Hi, Kat. How can I help?
I just need a little clarification for you. I heard this on your show a couple weeks ago, I think, and I think I must have misheard something. But I have an IRA, and I give to my church, and I thought you were able, as long as you set it up with them, to be able to give directly to the church and not pay taxes. But yeah. When I called Fidelity up, they told me I had to be 70. So I must not have heard something correct.
No, that is correct, what you heard from Fidelity. You actually have to be 70 and a half. So you're correct with everything else, though. If you have an IRA, the money went in pre-tax, the only way to get it out of the IRA and never pay tax on it is when it goes directly from the IRA to a qualified charity, so a 501c3 organization. And you do have to be 70 and a half, according to the IRS rules and regs, in order to do that. So you're still, 3.5 years away from being able to do that. But the great thing is that when you get to that point, you do have this option. And then when you get to 73, you're going to have this required minimum distribution. And if you use this strategy of a qualified charitable distribution, it also satisfies the required minimum. As long as you get, enough, you do enough of by way of the QCD, at the same time, you're not recognizing any income. So it's a great strategy. You're just a few years away.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wanted to give more and take out less, but like you said, it looks like I do have to wait.
Yes, exactly right. I love this strategy. Unfortunately, not enough people know about it, but it's a great opportunity. By the way, you can do a bunch of giving here. The limit for 2025 is $108,000, and so that's per individual. So for a married couple, you could do up to $216,000 out of your IRA straight to a 501c3. Pay no tax on it. And so if you have overaccumulated, we talk often here about setting a financial finish line, answering the question, how much is enough? And for some folks that have been blessed with more than they need, they've defined enough, they've saved beyond that, and perhaps they don't want to wait till death to give that away. They'd like to get that into circulation into God's economy now, this qualified charitable distribution, if the bulk of those assets are sitting in an IRA, up to, for a married couple, $216,000 for 2025 is a great opportunity. Kat, thanks for asking the question. It's a great clarification. Let's see. We're going to go to Brenida. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My name is Brenida.
Brenida. Right? I tried. I was close.
It's okay. It's okay. They always get it wrong, but I forgive you. Okay. So I have a question. I am in the process of purchasing a condo downtown Chicago for where I save monies from my savings for a good down payment of 25%.
Great.
Now, I currently live in my rental property on one unit, wherefore when I move out, I'll have three units of rental property. That would pay, because my rental property is paid for. okay. other than a small HELOC loan on it. It's totally paid for. Okay. I have, and then in addition to the rental property, I have four streams of income, possibly five. One is going to go away. So that's why I still say four, because one of them is disability, my disability pension. I'm currently getting workers' comp, and I have the rental income, and then I get home base, and then Social Security disability I signed up for. I have not been approved yet. That's still in the process. So I want to know, is it, you know, because I'm 59 and a half this year, and I want to just relax. So that's mm-hmm. why I said a condo downtown. And I thought I got a really good deal with a deeded parking space where I don't even have to pay for parking.
Nice.
So I thought yeah. that, and I wanted to get your advice on it. If that was a good idea for me. I mean, because I'm 59 and a half, and this is a 30-year mortgage fix.
Yeah.
Even though I plan to pay it off sooner.
Well, Brenetta, I like a lot about your plan here. I do have one question. So you said you're renting out three units, living in one. Are you going to be selling the unit you're moving out of, or is that just going to generate more income because you're going to keep it and turn around and rent it out?
No. So I have three units, and I'm currently renting out two. And then okay. when I move into the condo, that'll be the third unit, and I will rent that out.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, so your idea is you've saved up a good down payment of 25%, but you believe with all three of those rental income streams, one additional from the one you vacate, plus the other sources, the workers' comp and the pension, that you'll have enough to essentially pay that mortgage that you'll have on the condo, the 75% that you mortgage, and you're just wanting to make sure that's a good plan. Is that right?
Yeah, because yeah. I always hear you. I like to pay things off, and I got my credit cards down to 30%, not many of them, but they're under 30%. Yeah. So,
yeah. Well, here's my thought. I mean, I like the plan a lot. There's just a couple of things. Number one is, I like the fact you've got diversified income streams. I like the fact that the rental properties are covering the mortgage. You're going to get the appreciation on those units, which is great. There's some tax benefits where you can deduct expenses, interest and depreciation and maintenance. So that's going to reduce your taxable income. The potential risks you have would be, the workers' comp and disability is probably temporary. So you just need to factor that in, that some of these might go away. Of course, the interest rates and loan terms, be careful on that. And then the rental market fluctuations. So if vacancies went up, we got into a recession, you know, something like that, you just need to make sure you've got a good, strong financial foundation under you. But if you've counted the cost, you feel like you've got enough reliable income to cover the new mortgage, you've got plenty of reserves for vacancies or major repairs, then I think you're in good shape here, and I like the plan a lot. I hope that helps. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Today's issues.
Blaming a gun for a violent crime or a murder is like blaming the pencil for a misspelled word.
Ooh, I like that.
That would be like a student who he does terrible on spelling, and he says,
"We've had a rash of pencil-oriented mistakes."
Misspelled words.
Today's issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by credit card debt? As followers of Christ, we are called to be good stewards of what God has given us. That's why our trusted partner, Christian Credit Counselors, is here to help. Their debt management program can help you pay off your debt 80% faster while honoring your commitments in full. Take the first step toward financial freedom today. Visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Imagine having biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox every week, helping you integrate your faith and financial decisions for the glory of God. At faithfi.com, you can join a community of over 70,000 people who are already receiving our weekly wisdom email, filled with articles, videos, podcasts, and exclusive offers on resources that will deepen your understanding of biblical stewardship. Start your journey today by creating your FaithFi account at faithfi.com. Just click sign up.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
Are you a financial professional looking to grow your practice while offering advice that aligns with your Christian values? By becoming a certified Kingdom Advisor, you'll gain the biblical wisdom and professional credibility to serve clients who are seeking faith-based financial guidance. Each year, more than 75,000 people search for a certified Kingdom Advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Start your journey today by going to kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. By the way, if you've not checked out our website recently, we'd love for you to do that. The wealth of content, articles, podcasts, and videos there to help you be a wise and faithful steward of God's money is incredible. You'll find it all at faithfi.com. You can visit that on your smartphone or on your desktop. Again, faithfi.com. Just click the content button. Also, while you're there, check out the FaithFi app that can help you manage God's money and access all of this great content on the go. Just click the app tab. Again, it's all at faithfi.com. All right, back to the phones we go to Tennessee. Hi, Travis. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much for taking my call. I'm looking at possibly looking for new employment, and I'm really trying to see what it is that I have in my job now compared to other employment. And a big part of my work now is that I'm in a pension plan, and it's a pension plan to which I do not have to contribute. And I'm trying to really, like, how do I compare that to 401ks, which are basically offered by any other employer today? But if you could offer any advice on that, that would be great. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah. So you're trying to determine how much is that benefit that you'd be losing as you consider your next job?
Yes. Compared to other retirement plans. Yes, sir.
Yeah. And what are they putting into that pension for you? Do you know each month?
There's actually nothing that's put into it. I just earn an amount for each year. I do know for each year that I'm there, I gain 1.6% for each year that I work, and then they multiply that by the average of my highest 5 years of compensation.
Okay. But the amount that they're adding to the pension each year currently is only 1.6% of your income, even though it's based on that 5 year average. That's right.
Well, they don't actually contribute. It's just that's how much I would earn. That's how much that I would earn from the pension plan when I retire. It's 1.5% for each year worked. So they're not actually contributing to anything. It's just payable upon retirement.
I see. So it would be converted to a pension income stream at retirement. But what happens if you leave early? Is there any lump sum that you'd be able to accrue based on the years of service?
I would not get a lump sum, but however, I am vested, and I would not lose that. I would still be able to draw based on the years of service that I have now.
Got it. All right. Yeah, very good. So, you know, there the defined benefit versus the voluntary, which is what the 401k is, with hopefully some matching, are just two different approaches. One is, you know, they're going to put it in every year, the same amount for every person based on your comp, and you just have to reach the vesting period and you get a check for life. And then we've moved from defined benefit to defined contribution, where they put the onus on you and say, hey, it's up to you. We're going to give you the vehicle, the 401k, but it's up to you to contribute to it. And hopefully they're going to offer some matching, which the matching is, you know, what allows you, you know, to juice, if you will, your contribution. So you know, hopefully they'll provide, let's say, matching up to 4%. And so you put in, you know, that 4% and you're going to get 100% return on your money on top of it. Now you haven't found your next employer. You're just trying to understand all this prior to making that selection. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. I'm just trying to see, well, what's the value of what I have now? And if I want to go forward and step up in employment, I've got to be able to surpass what I've got now. I'm just trying to figure out what exactly is it that I have now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my thought is, unless I'm missing your question, you know, what you have right now is already locked in, because, you know, you're going to get that. As you said, you've met the vesting requirement. And so that's kind of a guaranteed benefit that you're going to have. Now, the question is, how can you contribute to add to your overall retirement income options by way of your next employer? And I would say what you're probably going to find, unless, you know, you're in a situation where you're working for the government or something like that, you're probably going to find the defined contribution plan as the more readily available option. And so, you know, I think it's ultimately what can you put in every month as salary deferral out of every paycheck? And you're just going to want to know, are they going to provide any kind of matching? Because that's a benefit you would want to factor in and then compare against other offers that you get from other companies. But, you know, it doesn't really relate to the pension you had with your prior employer, because that is what it is. You're not losing that. You'll be able to take that down the road. And the key would just be, what options are you going to have with your next employer, and how, you know, rich is that benefit as you compare that to others? Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Okay. Yeah. So I think as you kind of interview and think about where you want to go and align your passions and giftings with what, you know, is available to you, I think this just needs to be part of that assessment as you consider, you know, not only the compensation you're going to get, but the benefits. And part of that benefit is, how generous is the retirement plan? And am I going to be making enough to be able to contribute to it and maintain my lifestyle? And hopefully there's some matching there. And then now you're going to have a growing 401k or 403b alongside this guaranteed pension, and that plus Social Security all working together is what ultimately, you know, will provide your income streams in retirement. So hopefully that helps you, Travis. I appreciate your call today. If we can serve you in any other way along the way, don't hesitate to reach out. God bless you. Let's go to Ozark, Arkansas. Hi, Raymond. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. God bless you and the work you're doing to help people. My question is, I've just come into this retirement from the military from Camp Lejeune contamination, and they've decided to give me $1,780 a month, and they gave me back pay for 6 months from when I signed up for that program. I've got three houses. I've got plenty of income already, and this is just a windfall for me, and I just want to be a good steward of it at $1,780, and my son's telling me buy Bitcoin.
Okay, and you want my advice on that?
Yes, sir, I do.
I wouldn't do it. Yeah, you know, here's the thing. I mean, the blockchain technology underneath all of the cryptos is here to stay. It's not going anywhere. It's good technology. There's a lot of uses for it. But the idea of cryptocurrency, number one, is very unproven. I mean, it's kind of the wild, wild west based on, you know, how it's going to be handled from a regulatory standpoint. Clearly, President Trump is more favorable on the crypto space, not a central bank digital currency. currency, but he's more favorable on crypto than the prior administration. And we just heard the announcement last week about the U.S.'s strategic reserve using a basket of cryptocurrencies. And we saw Bitcoin, you know, run up on the announcement of that. And then we saw it come right back down. And so we had a lot of people jumping in and kind of playing that trade, so to speak, and then losing a lot of money. And I think that really just speaks to, Raymond, some of the incredible volatility that's taking place in this, which is why I would put Bitcoin as an investment in really the most speculative category. You know, so for somebody who, you know, has considerable assets and they might want to take 10% of their, you know, investable assets and say, I'm comfortable because, you know, I've been blessed with much, and therefore I can put, you know, a small portion of my investable assets into a more speculative category, and I'm going to allocate a portion of that to Bitcoin. Well, maybe, but, you know, anything else, I would say it's really off limits just because of the volatility and the uncertainty around it. So I'd be more in line with what the Bible says, which is what it calls steady plotting. I think that's maybe a better approach. So pay down debt, give it away, or put it in some good solid mutual funds. That would be my suggestion. God bless you, sir, and thanks for your service. We'll be right back.
The Puritan Matthew Henry said that anyone would be alarmed if he knew he had only a month to live, and yet people are careless even though no one knows if he'll live another day. John MacArthur shows you why living in light of what's ahead, specifically the return of Christ, is crucial to living a godly life. Be here for the next Grace to You.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. This is where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. Chicago is where we're headed next. Hi, Sharon. Go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, Robin. Thank you for taking my call. So my daughter gave me $2,000. She's a student and she works part-time. I'd like to invest that money for her so it grows. Do you have any advice to give me as to how to invest that money for her?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I love that you want to help her with that. What is the time horizon on this money? Do you think she wants to kind of lock it away and forget about it and just let it grow, or do you could you see her needing to tap into it, you know, in less than 10 years?
I already told her that I want it to be locked away. She's already
weird. Yes. All right, very good. What is her age?
She'll be 28 in June.
Okay. So she has earned income, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So I would think about opening a Roth IRA. Do you know if she has one?
She doesn't have any form of saving. That's the reason why I'm approaching it this way. She has no form of savings.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, if she were to take $2,000 and put it into a Roth IRA, R-O-T-H, she would not get a deduction for it, but that money would grow over the next, so she's 28, so let's call it the next 40 years. And if we look at the average return of just say, let's say 8% a year over the next 40 years, even if she didn't add anything to it, it would grow into a substantial nest egg. At 8%, I think she'd have about $50,000. And again, that's if she adds nothing to it when she gets to retirement. Well, all of that money would then come out tax-free. So all the growth, anything beyond the $2,000, because she's already paid tax on that, would come out tax-free in retirement. It'd be a wonderful addition to whatever other retirement assets she would have at that point. So I love the idea. What I would recommend is she open a Roth IRA at either Fidelity or Schwab. She's got a couple of options, or you do, in terms of how to invest it. One would be kind of a turnkey solution. It's called the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. You could search for that in your search engine, Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. And basically, it's what's called a robo-advisor. So you'd answer a series of questions about her age and risk tolerance and time horizon, and then it would automatically take the $2,000 and invest it in what are called index funds. So basically, she'd capture the broad moves of the stock market in a variety of indexes, large cap and small cap and international and domestic and growth and income, those all across the market. And basically, she could forget about it. It's very low cost. And if she wanted to add something to it over time, that would be even better because, instead of having $50,000 when she gets to retirement, she may have $100,000 or $200,000 or $300,000 just by making small systematic investments. But it really takes a lot of the guesswork out of it. How does that sound?
Oh, that sounds very, very good. Yes, I will definitely look into this for her. But I do have another question. Do you have time for another question?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
So, Quicken Will. It's okay. An app where you can download and create a will and or a trust or power of attorney. Have you heard of this?
Yes, it's called Quicken Will Maker.
That's it. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And there's a number of online tools. There's the Quicken Will Maker. Another one that's done a lot of marketing lately and they get pretty good reviews is called trustandwill.com. That's another one. And it's these basically online low cost or even free solutions that allow you to put a simple will or a power of attorney or even a trust in kind of a DIY format. Is that my preferred option? No. I would rather, for something that important, you go to an estate planning attorney, make sure you're doing something that, is consistent with the laws of your state. Somebody can help you, think through the decisions you need to make. But, if it's the will maker or will and or trustandwill.com versus not having anything at all, then by all means, use the online solution because you need a will to determine, first of all, if you have minor children, you absolutely need it because that's where you name your guardian. But beyond that, you just want to make sure that your wishes are carried out at death with regard to your assets and personal effects. But then beyond that, giving somebody power of attorney and a healthcare surrogate if you're incapacitated, making sure through a living will that your end of life decisions have been laid out. I mean, all of these things are very important and you want to make sure that they're valid and they're, in line with your wishes. And that's where an attorney, I think, is the better option. It's going to cost you something, probably a few $100s, and if you wanted a trust, maybe a few $1,000s, whereas these online solutions are a lot less expensive. I just think for a decision that important, I'd rather professional advice.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate your advice.
All right. You're welcome. Thanks for calling, Sharon. To Georgetown, Texas. Hi, Terry. Go ahead.
Hi. I just have a quick question. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a few $100,000 that I want to start investing, but I just don't know where to start.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. So is this money just like in a savings account right now or somewhere else?
So I have about $100,000+ just in a savings sitting there. And then I have $100,000 in a CD, 18-month CD that's growing about just 4.5%.
Yeah. Okay.
And
good. Yeah, that's helpful. So, you know, I think what you need is an advisor because this is a significant sum of money that you've amassed. And it doesn't mean that it all needs to go into the market. In fact, I'd recommend if this is all you have in liquid assets that it doesn't. Because as a starting point, you'd probably want to keep at least 3 to 6 months expenses. And you may decide you want even more than that in that high yield savings account. So it's safe and it's liquid. It's still earning some interest. You know, you can get 4 to 4.5% today with FDIC insurance. But beyond that, you probably want to take, you know, the amount that goes beyond the emergency fund and put it to work. And that's where developing a really thoughtful investment approach, you know, with stocks and bonds, perhaps even faith-aligned investments, you know, there's something to be thought about there. But that's where an advisor could really help you think about, you know, what type of investments do you want? That advisor could manage it for you. And I don't think you'd just want to put it on autopilot. And because of inflation, you probably, you know, don't want to just leave it 100% of it in bank products because you'd probably like, even though you're going to have to add a little bit of risk, to get a little better rate of return over the long haul so you can outpace inflation and grow this money for the future. And that's where I think an advisor could help you. So here's what I would do. I'd go to our website, faithfi.com, click Find a Professional, and you could look for a list of certified Kingdom advisors there in your area, interview two or three, and find the one that's the best fit.
Okay, one more question. I have a granddaughter that I want to start, you know, something for her for when she starts going to college and, you know, those types of things. What would you say would be the best for that?
Yeah, I would probably recommend a 529 college savings plan. So this money does need to be used for educational expenses, but it also allows, you know, other qualified expenses, which, you know, goes beyond the tuition and the room and board to other expenses she may have. The benefit is you put in the money, Terry, after tax money, it grows tax free, and then you can take it out for college and not pay any tax on the amount that it's grown to. What is the child's age right now?
She's gonna be 2 this month.
Okay, yeah. So this would be great because over the next 16 years, you know, you could put this money away systematically. Maybe you'll make a lump sum contribution today. You add a little bit to it each month or each year, you know, over the next 16 years. She could end up with a sizable amount. Would be in your name. So it's not doesn't affect your financial aid eligibility as much as if it was in her name. And you would get all the tax-free growth as long as you use it for qualified educational expenses. If she doesn't use it all, it could be transferred to another child. And if there's not another child, then it could be rolled into a Roth IRA and she'd have a retirement account. So in order to find the best 529 plan for you, I'd go to a website, savingforcollege.com, and I think that'll give you the information you need. Thanks for calling today. Quickly to Chicago, Antoinette, I have just a minute left. Go ahead.
I just have a question. When they calculate the Social Security benefits, how do they base it on the last employment or the highest income you had during that time?
Yes, it's more like the second one, but let me give you an explanation. So basically, it's indexed to your work record, your monthly earnings, where you paid Social Security, FICA taxes, and it's based on your highest 35 years of earnings. So they look back over your entire work record where you paid into Social Security, and they said, which of these 35 of all these years she's been working and paying in, which are the 35 highest? And then they use that to create the formula and it's going to be somewhere between, you know, the minimum benefit for an individual is about $950 a month. The maximum benefit, you know, is a couple of thousand. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but the bottom line is it's based on those highest 35 years of earnings. Thanks for your call today. That's going to do it for us today, folks. Thanks to my team, Devin Patrick, Pat Montague, and Jim Henry. Couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being here as well. Hope you have a great rest of your day, and come back and join us tomorrow. Lord willing, I'll be here, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.